Welcome to our service for Advent Sunday. Advent is a season of penitence and hope, a time when we are encouraged to examine our consciences in the light of the hope that one day we will meet face to face with Christ. At that judgment seat, our hope is that Christ will be, as the scripture promises, the advocate for our defence. And so we begin with the Advent hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free.
Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel, strength and consolation, hope of all the saints' heart, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
So to our time of confession, let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord God, we have sinned against you, we have done evil in your sight, we are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us, and restore us to the joy of your salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us, and set us free from sin. Strengthen us in goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the Collect for Advent Sunday. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 64, beginning at the first verse. Oh, that you would tear the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us, and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity for ever. Now consider, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Second reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, beginning at chapter 1, verse 3. My brothers, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our song, which expresses the Advent hope at a deeply personal level. The tune is by a little-known early 20th century composer, Maurice L. Wostenholm. The words, somewhat earlier, by S. Trevor Francis. I am waiting for the dawning of that bright and blessed day. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. There are various themes available for the preacher on the four Sundays of Advent, but this year the fourth of the Sundays is actually Christmas Eve, which more or less looks after itself. So I thought I might use the first three Sundays to talk about the Advent themes of dying, judgment, and heaven. Truthfully, in the old tradition, the four themes of Advent are what we call the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. But Christmas Eve being on a Sunday gives me the chance to leave hell out, which is always somewhat more appealing. It's been a joy in these last few weeks to be able to get back into Newquay School and meet a new generation of children there. The children joined us for their harvest service in church, and I did my first assembly in the school since before COVID just the other day. I always ask if the children have a topic for the term, and the topic for this term is the Second World War. I did the assembly with years 5 and 6, that's to say third and fourth year juniors in old money. And for something church related to do with the topic, I decided to talk to them about church bells. I was hoping to do the assembly in the school hall and play oranges and lemons, but unfortunately the hall was busy, so we had to do in the assembly in the classroom. But there was room for a row of 8 children to pretend that they were church bells and to sing a peal down the octave. We explained how, in the time before the war, the bells would be rung in peals for Sunday services and for special occasions like weddings. We explained, too, the idea of the passing bell, with which some of you will be less familiar. In the villages of England and elsewhere more widely, there would be a church employee whose job it was to look after the churchyard, but also to ring the church bell for special times. In particular, there was a code for the passing bell when someone in the village had died. The bell would be rung twice 3 times for a woman, or thrice 3 times for a man. And then the bell would toll 1 stroke for each year of the life of the person who had died. The man with this responsibility was called the sexton, hence the old joke that when someone died, they went and told the sexton, and the sexton told the bell. It's one of those jokes I've known all my life, but never actually tracked down to a source, never been sure indeed that there was a written source. But it turns out that the lines are from a Victorian comic poem by a poet called Thomas Hood. It's about a seaman and his sweetheart, and it ends with the seaman dying for love. His death, which happened in his berth, at 40-odd befell. They went and told the sexton, and the sexton told the bell. But back in the assembly, we explained to the children that in 1940 the church bells fell silent across Europe, but for 2 contrasting reasons. One of the facts less frequently told about World War II is that the Nazis stripped bare the countries they occupied of every kind of resource which they needed, which they could steal. In France, Belgium, Holland, ultimately even in Germany itself, church bells were torn from their towers and melted down to satisfy Germany's insatiable hunger for metal to build ships, planes, tanks, and other armaments. In Britain, too, metal artefacts like churchyard railings were torn down and smelted for the same purpose, but not the church bells. The church bells in Britain, especially in southern Britain, fell silent for a different reason. They had been enlisted in the war effort as an early warning system. The church bells would only ring if there was an invasion. The news would pass quickly from village to village as the bells were rung, so that the defenders would know that the Germans had crossed the Channel. The silence of the bells did not last for the whole war, of course. By 1942, it was clear that the Germans had no chance of invading Britain. Nonetheless, when eventually the war was won, the peals of church bells in joyful celebration could be heard across the land. And in the school assembly, we got the 8 children who were representing the bells to sing repeated peals of celebration, as they would have been heard across Britain on VE Day. But to finish, we asked the children if they could tell us of anywhere where there were wars today. They quickly came up with Gaza and Ukraine, and we spoke briefly of the children, their age and younger, who are dying there, mentioning also Yemen and southern Sudan, less publicised conflicts. And we tried to explain that although it was a right thing to ring the bells joyfully to celebrate the victory in which Britain was saved from the evil of Nazism, we should never forget the cost, the pain and suffering of war. We tried to explain, too, that although wars may seem to be happening far away and remotely from us, any war is a tragedy for all of us, for the whole of humanity. How when a child dies in Gaza or Ukraine, somehow a little piece of every one of us dies with them. And so we returned, in conclusion, to the idea of ringing the passing bell, as it is evoked in John Donne's very famous poem, No Man is an Island. No man is an island entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thine own or of thine friends were. Each man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind. Therefore, send not to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Amen.
Drop, drop slow tears, and bathe those beauteous feet that brought from heaven the news and prince of peace. Cease not wet eyes his mercies to entreat, to cry for vengeance sin doth never cease. In your deep floods drown all my thoughts and fears, nor let his eyes see sin but through my tears.
Now it's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. En tad yr hynoedd yn y nefoedd, sancteddio dy enw, deled dernas gwneled dy ywyllus, megis yn y ne, felly ar y ddear hefyd. Dyna ni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion fel y maddau ninnau ein dyledwyr. Ac nac ar yma ni y brofedigaeth, eithau gwared ni rhag drwg. Can i seddo ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, and I say so. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Father, we do indeed pray for the children. We pray for the children of Newquay School, giving thanks for their life and learning, for their cheerfulness and spirit. We pray for the children of Ukraine and Gaza, and all those places where there is conflict and where the lives of children are being lost, where children are being injured, where they are losing their parents. We pray, Father, that you would hear the cry of the innocents. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for our bishop-elect, Dorian Davis. We pray for our archdeacon, Aileen, our area dean, John, for our assisting clergy, for Judith and for Father Dylan. We give thanks for all their ministry. We pray for those clergy who are not well, thinking particularly of Trevor Copeland and David Tizard, and for any clergy who are finding their ministry difficult in these times, when ministering the gospel in a world which seems not to care can be so challenging. Pray, Lord, that you would encourage them and restore to them the joy of service and of ministry to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those known to ourselves who are in particular need of prayer at this time for any reason. We think of those whose relationships are in trouble, those who are struggling to keep households together. We think of those who are lonely and isolated, who feel purposeless, that life is vain for them. We remember those who are ill, those who are suffering, especially in body, but also in mind and spirit. For all these, Father, we pray that you would be near to them, that you would bless and keep them, that you would bring healing and, in this Advent season, hope. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Of the world by darkness slain,
then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus controls my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Today he returns or calls me home. In the power of Christ I stand.
Finally, a blessing for Advent. Go now and walk in the light of the Lord. Stay alert, for the Lord is near. Put on the armour of light. Live openly and honourably, and pray for the peace of all God's people. May God clothe you in the light of Christ. May Christ Jesus teach you his ways. And may the Holy Spirit keep you alert and prepared for the coming day of Christ. Amen.